Anyway, man, great day. Glad to be here. How many feel the same? If you missed last week, like, you severely missed out. Like, I'm just going to be honest. There's no comparison to being in person, seeing impromptu baptisms. I think we had 5 extra baptisms or something. I forget, but there was a lot. And it was just incredible to see lives transformed, people freed, babies dedicated, my friend Scott Thompson given just a powerful word of vulnerability, of just being real. And when we're dealing with people, sometimes there's hurt, sometimes there's challenge. There are always challenges, sometimes, or often hurt. You can reword this, but anyway, it was super good, so excited. Man, there's some new life happening this week. This ministry, like, officially, publicly launching, man, if we are pro-life, then it involves all of this, right? Even through completion and through way beyond even aging out. Man, Amanda, what an incredible story. What an incredible journey, and to see where you are now, especially the stigma and so many of the statistics that go the other way. So we're just so proud of you. Man, to see you up here leading worship. So good. But we know tomorrow is just like a huge day for a family in the church, doing some pretty big things with their family. They can announce that later. We think there's maybe somebody adding to their family this week, maybe a birth. Also, a couple weddings next weekend as part of the body. So, man, lots of cool stuff happening, and excited to be a part of most of that, not all of it. Man, there is a shaking. Let me get into the word here, because we're in limited time, because we're going to end the service next door in the new area, writing scriptures and having a scripture writing party, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But let me just get straight in here. No warm-up. Let's just go. There's a shaking happening, and even as Scott started to reference some stuff, as we were hunting, we talked about a lot of this. Nicole and I have been talking about this. You've been seeing it. There's ministries that we know of that we're even somewhat connected to, seeing with things coming out and just like this craziness. But we're seeing it in politics. We're seeing it in entertainment. We're seeing it in all these realms of life, and it's this crazy thing. But there's religious leaders falling. There's systems and institutions falling. There is a sifting and a shaking, and it's not all bad. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. What in 1964? I remember that song being released. I'm just messing with you. By Jerry Lee Lewis. I remember I was a young boy. No, I'm just kidding. Totally messing with you. But I know there's some people in here that remember that song being released. Bless you, those of wisdom and maturity. But there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And I think what's happening is God is raising up a people, and he's raising up a body that won't be shaken. And the things that are being done behind closed doors, and the things that are impure, and the things that are not right, are being exposed so that there can be a pure body of a bride of Christ. It's not all bad. The other thing is there's this shifting, because, see, our faith was never meant to be in a man, a system, an organization, a politician, or a religious leader. Our faith cannot be in man. Our faith has to be in Christ alone. And what's happening is, I think even right now, if we prepare ourselves, we're readying our hearts for maybe an upcoming election. Maybe some letdown, maybe some drama with even how they campaign, or what things we start to hear, or what might be released, or who knows what's going to happen. Look back 4 years ago, 6 years ago, the last 6 years or so, even 4 years specifically. Would you ever imagine that a few Easters ago, we'd be in here with maybe 12 people? We never imagined any of this, but I believe what happened, then we started to get so frustrated. Anybody else in that boat with all of everything that happened around 4 years ago? So mad, so angry, so ready to just like the lady getting baptized, I think it was Candy last week, that punched devil in the face. But I'm not going to lie, I wanted to punch more than the devil in the face. Tell me I got to wear a mask, tell me this, tell me, you know, like, come on. But I believe this. I believe we're in this space, and this space now to say, listen, I personally feel I grew a lot during that. I had to. Leading a church, leading, helping in a way, and at least within my role, leading parts of a fire department, a family, all these things, right? Now it's like, okay, what do you got now, enemy? What do you got now, devil? But there is still going to be a shaking. But if our foundation is strong and sturdy, then it's really not going to matter. I'm going to briefly speak on that, and then we're going to continue reconstruction. This is reconstruction part two, by the way. All right, we're going to talk about foundations. See, God created us and he crafted us. And throughout history, the enemy has tried to defile us. If you think back and you go back to creation, let us make man in our image, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit throw this party. And he intentionally crafted you by hand with his heart. And he spoke life and he breathed life into existence in you. And all of a sudden, you know, you see Psalm 139 that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were meant to be made in his image, and we were supposed to be like him. We were supposed to bring him glory. We were supposed to be for his pleasure, to worship him, to bring him glory, right? And then sin defiled it. Throughout time, God has been trying to build humanity to be like him and create in him in his image. God was building a people, a royal priesthood, but we wanted an earthly king. Can I get into a few things here? Where we put our trust and where we put our faith matters. And if our foundation isn't right, all of a sudden some things will be shaken and we're going to go the way with culture, the way with this, or the way with that. See, God was building a royal priesthood, but we want an earthly king. God sent a savior, and many thought and still think today that he was a good teacher or prophet when really he was a savior and we crucified him. God built an ecclesia with his spirit, but we wanted religion. God gave us relationship, but we wanted rules of to-dos and to-don'ts. God's still pouring out his spirit, and he's still building, and he's still desiring these things, and we need to be a people that just want him. See, oftentimes throughout history, throughout the word, God's giving them everything they want, everything they need before they really even need it. You got bread and like fresh donuts falling from the sky. You got meat and birds just like right at their fingertips. You got rock pouring out fountains pouring out of rocks. You have all these things, right? But the people are just like, no, we want to go back to slavery because we're comfortable there. We know where our next meal's coming from. We'd rather be in that than walk in faith in the unknowing. There's a comfortability in the knowing, right? But then all of a sudden, faith happens and things shake and all this stuff. See, government, business, entertainment, pastors, religious leaders aren't the answer. Jesus is. He's the perfect theology. He alone is the rock. He alone is the cornerstone that we get to build on. Yeah. Go with me to Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Then we're going to get into Hebrews. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're no longer foreigners in a land. You're no longer strangers. You're no longer these weird ones that don't belong. You're now in a people that do belong. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the what? Cornerstone. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You yourself, you, we get to house Holy Spirit. We get to be filled with Holy Spirit. And we get to be a dwelling place for Spirit and his presence to rest, to dwell, to operate, to use, to bring him glory, to reach others, to share the gospel. We are this dwelling place for his presence. We're a resting place. And he is the cornerstone. Let me move on here. See, many of our beliefs and many of our faith and much of our things are based on and built on exposure, what we're exposed to, our past experiences, injustices that we've seen, upbringing, media, culture, all these things. But our beliefs should strictly be built on him. I'm going to challenge you guys later. Go with me to Hebrews 12. I'm going to be an NLT on this one. Hebrews 12. I'm going to skip around a lot for the sake of time. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 and 26 through 29. I went into this, and I was like, I'm going to read all of Hebrews 12 and all of Romans 12. I'm not, because the better part of service, worship, went longer. So add it to your notes. Hebrews 12, Romans 12. Read the whole thing. So I'm just going to kind of spot around here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How many know, like, we're in this marathon? Scott talked about that last week. It's more about the journey than it is the destination. We're in this, we're in process, and I'll be honest, sometimes I get impatient, and I want to see this radical transformation, this radical growth, and this now moment in every believer. Because I know God's capable of that, and I know that's what our calling eventually is. But sometimes there's this process. I got this amazing text from somebody this week that was just like, man, it's happening. Nicole and I, we got a couple recent texts, actually. Like, if you only knew what's going on in our life and what the Lord's doing in our hearts kind of stuff. Like, man, the Lord is revealing himself. This is how I responded to this. This is now what's happening. Thank you. The Lord is doing stuff in my life. And sometimes from the outside, we really don't know what's happening. We don't see people enough, or sometimes we're not always in their mess or in their journey or in their process. But we love to be, and we love to see that. But sometimes it's this race, and sometimes we don't see that finish line yet. We don't see that winner yet, but we know that in the end of the book, we do win, and God is victorious. Let me keep going here. Oh, I forget where I was. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Who? The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him or set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. If you just keep your eyes on Jesus and you realize what he did for you, you're not going to give up. After all, you have not yet been given your lives in your struggle against sin. Let's move on to Luke 6, 46 through 49, and we'll get to the meat of this here. Okay, I'm ESV now. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Now, this is very applicable to today and who we are as a church, all right? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the what? Rock. If you remember when Jesus is having this exchange and talking about Peter, and they're in this area, like, on this rock, Peter, I will build my church, right? On this rock. Okay, so it says, I will show you what he's like. He is a man building a house who dug deep, laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one whose hearts and who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, we're going to get back into Hebrews here in a second. But there, somebody who builds his house on the rock, Jesus, and the cornerstone being him, it's when the streams come, and we're going to talk about what those could be, and then let you fill in the blanks of what those streams could be. When it comes against it, it stands because there's this foundation. When there's not a strong foundation, all of a sudden, the streams come, or influences come, or strange things, or whatever comes, and then it can't. All of a sudden, you're moving, and you're getting frustrated, and you're seeing things from what the visible and what the exterior, or what culture's seeing, or what politics are seeing, or what the earthly things are seeing, and not what heaven is seeing. At the end of some of the stuff last time, I was like, man, if that's what it took to bring America back to God, okay. Because I started seeing things different, that our trust, my dependency wasn't all the way on God. It had got into some politicians. For the love of our nation, for the love of morality in our nation, for biblical truths in our nation. I mean, it wasn't like it was just, oh, I'm flippantly fault. No, there was these things, but all of a sudden that line got blurred. Let me go back to Hebrews 12. We're going to be at the end of the chapter now. All right, 26, and finish it out through 29, says this. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will what? Remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, when the foundation is on Jesus, he is the cornerstone, it is a foundation, it is a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by what? Worshiping him in holy fear and awe. Putting him first, our first ministry to him, because we're trusting him. Like, that's the answer. And then it says this, for our God is a devouring, or some versions say, an all-consuming fire. I believe what's happening and what we're seeing in this shaking is there's this thing going on where he's burning away the waste, and he's burning away the things that shouldn't be in the kingdom and shouldn't be leading churches and ministries and these things, and he's burning it away to rise up the righteous, holy people who are supposed to. If anything else, if nonetheless, it's at least exposing things that are being done in the dark and being brought to the light so that righteous people can lead. There's this happening, there's a shaking, and it's in all spheres of influence, it's in all industries, it's all this thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's tragic, it's horrible, that it shouldn't be going on, there's injustices, but I serve a God who's loving and what? Just. His justice may look different than what I'm used to. It may not look like punishment, it may look like grace and mercy, like Jamie Van Gelder spoke a couple months ago, but there's this thing to where he's loving and just, and he takes care of it. So let's get into some stories now. You ready for story time? Luke 6:48 is very close and near and dear to this church's heart. Our address was hand-selected, given to us. We had a range of 1,000 numbers to pick from, and we went to Scripture. Well, we had hit rock when we built this original building here, and it was about $100,000 to $150,000 worth of rock. This church is literally built on the rock. On the fingers of limestone of Tip City. And we had to dig and had to blast and had to chisel out. Did it again over here. And so when we got to the Scripture, my dad and brother and I and a couple others were like, what should it be? And I was like, I found 648, which was within that range of numbers. And I was like, built on this rock, on him, on Jesus. So it says this, remember? He is like a man building a house. God is building a house. This is a church family. It's supposed to be an ecclesia, not an organization, not a business, not a place that just tracks numbers and wants to grow more. No, a family of believers that are like-minded, just wanting to bless the Lord and reveal him to others. It says this, laid a foundation on the rock, and when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it was well built. Luke 6:48, it's the principle of what we're built on, Jesus. It's not a building. It's not an expansion. It's not cushy chairs or whatever. It's not the program or the production or how good we can sound on a Sunday. Like, if you want that, there's churches. There's a ton of them that are way better than us. I actually would suggest you go there if that's what you're looking for. We're not that. We have feedback on videos sometimes. We forget announcements sometimes. That's just, we're people. We're not focused on that. We don't have a media team. We don't have paid staff. We don't even have a single full-time staff member in the church. We're building a church on the rock of him and his presence, and we just want to host him. We just want to make him known. We want to make him famous, and we want to gather just around him. We want to play him. Now, this stuff's cool. It's awesome when we can do this great. It's cool. I think it facilitates good things, and I'm not saying like we're against excellence in those things. We just don't invest in them because we'd rather invest in people in need, and we'd rather invest in him and just who he is and plant him in the center and gather around that, and let's just see what happens. That's our heart. Our heart is not our future plans is not a production manager. It's not a specialist that will have headsets on and making sure we're on the minute and on the second and on these things. It's just not who we are. If we have a moment where we just cut the sound and we just say, he's holy, that's who we are. Because we stand in that place of fear and reverence and awe, knowing that we're joining with the angels and the 24 elders and the living creatures and the seraphim. And we're joining in Revelation 4, seeing this majestic God who's holy. No matter what we do or don't do, he's holy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the foundation. That's the stone. That's the rock. He is the cornerstone. And his presence is everything to us. And I'm not trying to diss or down or downplay or diminish any other church doing any other way. They're leading people to the throne, and they're adding names to the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's amazing. We bless them, and we thank the Lord for them in our community. We regularly pray for them and thank the Lord. I when I drive by churches, I always just begin to sometimes weep and intercede. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you, Lord, for living word. Thank you, Lord, for open arms just down the street here. We did a virtual service a Christmas or two ago, and we put a sign, if you're wanting an in-person service, go down a quarter mile on the right. There's an amazing church called Open Arms. Because to us, it's a kingdom thing, it's a bride thing, it's a body thing, and we're not the only one. We're just part of it. We want to be built on him. He is the rock. So getting back to the illustrations here and trying to keep timely, which I'm not. this. Tip City, I think it was on First Street several years ago. They were ripping up the street, redoing it, and this was the original streets in that area of Tip City. It's bricks. It's old cobblestone brick road, brick street. And I saw a big pile, and I'm not going to lie, I might need to repent if it's stealing, but there was a giant pile behind the Senior Citizen Center, and I went and I grabbed one. Lola, who's a member of the Senior Citizen Center, I did ask her permission. I kid you not, I did. I was like, is it cool? You think they'd mind if I just grab a brick or two? She's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't think she's in leadership or like on the board or anything, but I took that as permission. So sometimes I do really weird things. We took our family down to Cane Ridge, Kentucky, a place, one of the birthplaces of revival and a great awakening, and I took a rock. I was like, memory stone. I went back to our old building when we sold it, and I took a rock, and I keep these things, and they're memory stones to me. I recommend you do some form of that, because I think there's a couple things. First off, in general, in history, if we forget it, we'll repeat it. The other thing is I like to honor where we've been, but I know this, my vision's greater than where I came from. I hope that's the case for this church, where you are in life, where your life has been in Christ. Like, you don't want to forget that, and you celebrate that, but he's got so much more in store for you ahead. And this house, and this place, and this region, and this state, and this nation, and our world. Man, quit watching the news. Our best years are yet ahead. It might need more Jesus. It is not all doom and gloom. People are coming by the masses to Christ. Gen Z by the masses are flooding churches. Man. Bruce went to these villages in Africa a couple months ago and revealed that he said he saw hundreds come to Jesus, brought by motorcycle, and then hiked in to these villages that had never heard of the name of Jesus, never had a Bible, and he's going in and just sharing the simplicity of the gospel, and hundreds of people are giving their heart to Jesus who had never heard of him. This is happening. This is the real news that's happening in the kingdom. Back on track. So I grabbed this. Now, there's three illustrations today. I don't know if Steve Justice is here, but he's here. Here's my three discernible points. Okay? First off, sometimes we just need a total new foundation. All right, sometimes if we're going back to that deconstruction, detangling, reconstruction, construction, if you were here 2 weeks ago, a lot of great feedback about that. Great. Love it. We actually printed off some of that stuff, and we're like, oh, this is awesome. Great feedback. But anyway, they were ripping out an entire foundation of a street and putting in new. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we just need a whole new foundation. Whether it's starting fresh and you've never been in church and you're just laying that new foundation, or you had just to totally reconstruct what you had, what you thought. Maybe you came from a cult, maybe whatever. Maybe you're agnostic, atheist, whatever. It's a whole new reconstruction, and you just need a new foundation laid. And that's awesome. In January, next point too. In January, the only thing that happened in that building, literally in the entire month, was that concrete was poured. Weather delayed, this delay, that delay, waiting on plans, waiting on approvals, waiting on this and that, literally in an entire month. Now, in a week, they just rough plumb, got rough inspections for framing, plumbing, electrical. They've almost totally insulated and drywalled it within 4 days. But the entire month of January, they poured concrete. Now, I believe there's something to be said about that, and I believe that there's something to be noted that the beginning of our year, the only thing that happened was the foundation was laid for what's coming for the new. Now, I want to take note of some things. Now, as it was poured and as it was sitting and it began to rain and then it got cold and it rained, water just kept coming into here because it did slope down. Now it's even, and water kept coming into that door into the sanctuary. That's why there's a weird fan back there still. So we have all this stuff, right? I believe there's something symbolic and prophetic about that. That first off, the first thing and the only thing we did at the beginning of the year was lay a foundation. And what was happening there and what was happening here was merging into one. And the new and the next generation, the legacy and what's to come was actually coming into the old. Now, sometimes we actually need to grow up and leave the spiritual milk and start eating the meat. Sometimes we need to leave the old back to the old and actually go to the new so we can have fresh fruit and fresh man and a fresh infilling and a fresh encounter with the Lord. And sometimes that requires a little bit of a new foundation added to the old. if you think about it scripturally, Paul and Peter both mentioned this going from milk to meat. We had it in Hebrews 5, 1 Corinthians 3, and 1 Peter 2. Talking about, listen, it's time to go past the milk and actually eat the meat. You're supposed to be teaching by now. So this is adding on to the foundation you have. So we have the totally new foundation, and we have adding on to what you have. Now, the third one. You guys ready? Let me just say that second one is all of us all the time, always. We should be continually growing to be more like Christ. I don't care where you are. I don't care how long you've been there. I don't care where you are in Christ. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Let me just say this. There should always be a fresh infilling because there's fresh manna coming daily. It's fresh, which means we remain humble. We remain hungry because I want to sit at this table and eat, Amanda. I want to sit in the river and I want to drink. I want to take of the cup and drink. Man, next and third and final group is this. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we have a meeting every other Wednesday. I take vacation from work. I have this construction meeting, and I come here and learn about all that's happening, good and bad. And we're sitting there like, all right, we get to the meeting. It was actually a pretty good one. No added expenses. That was a check. That was a great one. Nothing major. A lot of progress. Passed some rough inspections. Very excited for that. And then they get to this one thing like, but the front entry and the new entry, we put the storefront and the glass and doors in, and the concrete's wrong. There's a big gap, and it dipped. And now if we don't fix and address it, it's water's going to come back in. Like, oh, what's your suggestion? Well, we could grind all the other out and make it match. We could do this. We could just put caulk in it, but we know both of those solutions will probably leak eventually. Or we could cut it all out and pour new. I was like, really? That's that? Okay, all right. I was like, wait a second. In that area, aren't we doing a walk-off carpet? Oh, yeah. How far does that come out? 4 feet. Does 4 feet give you enough? It gives us plenty. So we just cut off 4x8, redo it, cover it with carpet. You never know that it was different concrete, and it's done. Yep. No cost to us? No. It was our mistake. Okay. So you go out there today, you're going to see a 4-foot by 8-foot section that was cut out last week, re-poured on Friday, and it's already curing and drying, and there's cones around it. So the point of this is, sometimes there's some stuff in us. There's some things that influenced us. There's some things that might just be a little off. Sometimes we just need to cut that little part out and replace it with new. Sometimes I live in a house built in the 1830s, and I go downstairs sometimes, and some of my brick is kind of like disintegrating. It gets moist down there. And I look, and I was like, all right, okay, we're still stable. I put some metal stabilizers up underneath our heavy areas, and I was like, all right, still standing. I'm still standing. So, and I look. But I've had to also in my house, by where our dryer comes out to get moisture, and our mortar joints begin to flake off and disintegrate and dissolve. And sometimes I go out there and I put it like cake icing. I put in this thing, I stir up some mortar, and I just fill those joints, and I butter them up. Sometimes in our faith, sometimes there's these little cracks or crevices or these areas that just need to be replaced. It's just a little spot. It's a little blemish. Some of us last time, 2 weeks ago, said it's not deconstruction. It's maybe a reconstruction, or a lot of people like the word disentangling. That might be where you are. Like, it's not this total new foundation. It's just this little blemish, this little thing, this little fix, this little replacement. And that's, I think, where 80-some% of us landed. That we've had questions, we've had some doubts, we've had some issues, we've had some hurts that caused us to think differently about this. So now we get this opportunity just to address that, just to fix it. Let me finish this. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me get into something, okay? As we read Luke 6, it talked about the streams, and if it's not a strong foundation, the streams will come in, it'll affect the foundation, it'll wash the house away, all this stuff. If you go to Matthew, it's more of an illustration built on sand. So as we look at this, there's these streams, and there's these streams that come against our foundation. there's these streams that happen, and they try to penetrate. There's moisture. There's things that happen, and it's as we're children, we're hopefully, we dedicated babies last night, we're raising kids with a foundation and belief in the Lord to have a strong foundation. But then as they grow old, it says that they won't depart from it because they were raised in this. But there's people that weren't, or there's people that didn't have as strong of a foundation. So when they go off to college, or they get exposed to social media, or they get exposed to culture, or an injustice, or hurt, or whatever, all of a sudden, things start to crack, and they're not addressing it. And those cracks get bigger. And if not addressed, water gets in. And pavement, we've always had issues with our parking lot because pavement and even a structure is fighting a few things. Gravity, weather, age, right? The moment you build something, it's aging and it's got a timeline. Our parking lot, the point of parking and how it's this hard surface and it's fighting all the traffic, right? It's holding that off, but it's fighting moisture and water. And all of a sudden, a little crevice happens. Matt, he's kind of been in charge of this. It's been a thorn in our side. And then also more, and then more cracks happen, and then big goiters happen, and then you see these big holes. You're seeing it right now because of winter, because moisture got in. That's a version of a stream. It doesn't always start as this big crashing flood. It's these little things, and then a crack gets bigger, and more gets in, and then the crack gets bigger. Now it's a pothole. Now it's a crater. Now it's a sinkhole. And now, where's our faith? There's a few things that I journaled, at least to note, of streams that attack our foundation, our faith, or our belief. Culture and social media, our upbringing, believing lies, identity issues, not believing who God says we are, and knowing that, and knowing who He is, and knowing who we are. Religious hypocrisy, fatherlessness, the family unit, gossip, hurt, insecurity, lack of a solid foundation, peer pressure. I've known people that wanted to marry a certain person, so they forsake their faith just to marry that person. I want to challenge you. Matt can come on up, and we're going to take communion and release you to do some scripture writing. I'm looking for 400 people who want to change their lives and build their faith. Private message me for details. Just messing with you. You ever see that though? Like, I'm looking for 9 people for 30 days who want a better body before summer. Private message me. No, seriously, I want to challenge you. I am looking for about 400 people to take this challenge. I hear so many times, I want to hear God's voice. I want to get closer. I want to build my faith. I want to do this. I want to see healings or miracles or whatever. Like, wherever you are, whatever you're building on that foundation, I hear it from beginning, from milk to meat, right? And that's great. And by the way, I'm not diminishing how there are people here, and thankfully, and I hope there will continue to be people that don't even yet have milk, that are on milk, all the way to the meat. Because I want to keep reaching people that don't know Jesus yet. Or that are just early in this walk and need to like be discipled and learn Him and know Him. It's amazing. But the 30-day challenge is this. It's a real challenge, though. And if you do this and it doesn't work, I will treat you to coffee or lunch. I promise you. 30 days to grow, whatever it is. You put the goal. You put the thing. In 30 days, you want to believe in God. You want to trust Him in this. You want to see this or whatever. You're going to seek Him. I'm going to give you a couple tools. And if you don't experience any breakthrough in that area, I will treat you to coffee or lunch. But here's a couple things. We say we want to hear from God, but we'll have these things that distort our minds, our thoughts, or distract us. One of them, alcohol. We want to hear from God, but we're consuming something that might distract our ability to hear or focus strictly on Him. So I challenge you in that. Social media, that's the second one. Social media in general, but specifically social media. You're constantly being fed the negative, the bad, the ugly, the beliefs of the world, the beliefs of culture, the beliefs of society, worldview that may not match this worldview. So give up those two things. Get in your Bible. Seek Him. Those are the 4 things. Really easy. Give up any mind-altering thing, alcohol or whatever that might be for you. Give that up. Give up media. Seek Him and open your Bible on a regular basis. We have one of our daughters doing this right now for 10 minutes a day, and it's transforming her life. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. Anyone who seeks, what? And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. I'm gonna do like a battle rampage of scripture right now, okay? 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is David's charge to his son Solomon. This is a father's heart to the son. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with whole heart and with willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. And all you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will be cast off forever. 2 Chronicles 15:2. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, you will be found, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Proverbs 8:17. Love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Isaiah 55:6. I know Lydia referenced Isaiah today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I believe this, and this is why I offer you this challenge. And anybody watching online, we might have to be a little creative if you're watching from around the world. I'll send you a coffee or lunch or something. His word is true and returns without void. His promises are yes and amen. And I know that if you do this and you seek him, I know that his promises will produce a fruit in you and you will find him. So, can you do this with me? We're going to close in a way. Hopefully you have communion. There's some available. Raise your hand if you need a communion cup. We're going to just do communion real quick, and then we're going to bless one another, and then I'll give you some instructions for outside. Part of the rock that Jesus is, part of the foundation that we build on, is his body and his blood. That his body was broken, he was crucified for us to be whole. His blood was shed for us to be pure, washed, cleansed, be forgiven of sins, and joined in covenant forever, all to lead to his resurrection and eventually his return. That's the foundation. That's the gospel. It's the simple truth. It's the simple gospel. It doesn't get any but easier than that. He was crucified for you. He forgave you. He paid a price for you, for me. He resurrected to invite us to resurrect with him, and one day he's returning for us, and we will see him face to face in heaven in all of his glory. Think about that. So, let's do the body. Nicole and I, we did communion at the expansion on Friday. We broke part of our bread, and there's a fireplace in there that you'll see today. And we took half the bread and we just threw it in the fire around the fireplace behind the wall. We're like, burn, Jesus, let us burn for you. Be an all-consuming fire in here. So just take your bread. Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you that it was broken so we could be whole. We thank you for your nail-pierced hands and ankles or feet. We thank you for your pierced side. We thank you for the crown of thorns that was pushed onto your head. Lord, we thank you for your lashings and whippings, God. We thank you, Jesus, for all of you endured. We thank you for your spiritual body here on earth. We thank you for the bride. We thank you for your body of believers, God. We thank you that you were broken so we could be whole. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. That also, Lord, that your body, your church body could be whole. So as we take this bread, we do it and we remember you. We remember your body and the price you paid. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you are the cornerstone. Thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood and the power of your blood. The purpose of your blood. The blood that cleanses us, it covers us. It connects us in covenant, God. It's the covenant blood of you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you that it washes us pure as snow, that it's a fresh start, that it's empowering, it's redeeming, it's freeing. God, we thank you for your blood. As we take this, we remember you and the blood that you shed for us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that one one day we will see you face to face. Thank you for your return. Okay, you're the prayer team. We're not going to call the prayer team up. I want you to lay a hand on somebody by you. And four things I want you to pray. And I just bless one another. Just put your hands on one another. Join up, maybe behind if you're not close to anybody. Revelation, pray this. We're building foundation here. We're laying foundation. We're repairing. We're replacing some foundation. We're mending foundation here. Revelation, transformation, renewed minds, and strong foundations. Okay? So just begin to release that. Lord, we pray for greater revelation of who you are, of who we are in you. God, we pray for transformation, that there'll be new mindsets and renewed minds in the way we think, the way we see you, the way we see ourselves, the way we see others, the way we see your bride, God. We thank you that you're transforming us in the very midst of your presence through your Spirit, God. We thank you. Just begin to impart that right now. The Lord is giving you the spirit of impartation right now. Lord, we impart revelation from you straight from heaven, straight from your heart, straight from your thoughts. Lord, I pray for greater revelation of the word and what it is and who you are. I pray these next 30 days will be so revelatory of knowing you, of experiencing you, of building faith in you, trusting you, God, putting you first, hosting you, worshiping you. Lord, we pray for a strong foundation. God, I pray for any cracks or crevices to be filled with your blood, with your spirit right now. Anything that needs to be replaced, any bad theology, you are perfect theology. Lord, if there's anything that's come in to corrupt that, any hurt, Lord, it wasn't you that hurt us, it was people or the church. It was hypocrisy. It wasn't you, Lord. So reveal yourself in the nature of who you actually are. So we thank you, Jesus. I pray that if there's any crack in foundation, that healing happens. Lord, some of those cracks came from trauma or hurt or manipulation. Or abuse, God. So right now, I pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. Some of those cracks came for maybe you not showing up the way we thought you should. Or the timeliness that we thought you should. So I pray right now, healing in those cracks. That you're a timeless God. That you've heard every cry. You've heard every prayer. We thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Seal that with a fist bump, a high five, or a hug. Seal it with the blood of Jesus. If you're married, we welcome a kiss. If you're married. Hey, a couple things. All right. Here's what we're going to do. All right. We would have had a much greater plan and organization to this, but we found out about a week and a half ago they were going to start drywall. And we've heard that a time or two, and things get pushed back a week or two. We thought we had a couple weeks, and didn't want to do it last week with Scott Thompson here as a guest minister, so we've saved it for today. That being said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually just dismiss you, and you're going to go next door. You can go through this door right here or out and around, and you can, we'll have permanent markers at each exit. Grab one. We're asking the adults to hold on to those. Because there's some very, very important instructions right now. We welcome you to write on any stud, any vertical piece of wood that's not in the gym, but anywhere else. Those wood walls you see in the gym, that's finished walls that will be painted. Permanent marker will come through the paint, okay? Floors. Every floor, pretty much just assume it's a finished concrete floor unless you're straight behind this sanctuary. The sanctuary is expanding this way. You'll see that area. That is fair game. You can write anywhere in there, okay? That will all be covered, replaced. There's wood. There's flooring. So feel free. Have your way in the sanctuary. And then other than that, door jams and vertical studs. We ask you this. It is a construction zone. There are pipes. There's debris out. There's dirt. There's nails. There's screws. You're entering there at your own risk. You're releasing us of all liability right now. You've signed the waiver with Jesus' blood. But no, seriously, be very careful. We are asking no unattended children. Please, no unattended children. There are stairs. There are danger zones. There's a pit still out in front by a fire hydrant. There's mud. Okay, please respect what the Lord's doing there. Those are some of the guidelines. And now here's what you're going to do. We did this. Our first service here was writing scriptures, and we had a Christmas Eve candle lit. A little more informal. We are going to do a formal thing there in a few weeks with communion and just kind of have most of the service there, maybe a brown bag lunch when things start to disrupt here in probably July. But here's what I'm asking. Write a declaration. Write a promise. Write a prophecy. Get a Bible verse. And what we're doing is we're declaring it for here, the city, this church, the next generation after that, the next generation after that until his return. Okay? So whatever the Lord puts on your heart, just write a decree, a declaration, a prophetic word, a Bible verse, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, and own it. Like I think somebody up here was saying, or maybe at prayer, Amy at prayer, said, everything we do, even with the scripture writing, let it be in a sense of family. Let it be in a sense of putting a stake in the ground, that we're owning it, that we're members, that we're family here, not just visiting. So we welcome everybody to be a part of this, and we bless you. We love you. If you see somebody writing on floor that's not in the sanctuary, could you just give them a swift kick in the butt for me? Otherwise, I'm going to have to go in there and scrape all that up and get a white erase marker, and it's going to be... I've already had to come here like 7 times this week and do random things. So I'm just kidding. But anyway, have fun. Do it with your family. Enjoy the process and enjoy the rest of your day. We love you guys. Bless you.